It was so good to hear what we heard this morning. I hope you've been challenged and blessed. I was thinking, if the Apostle Paul was there with us this morning and you had to ask him, Paul, what's the goal of your preaching and teaching and laboring? Probably Paul would have pointed you to 1 Timothy 1:5. 1 Timothy 1:5. It says, but the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Paul would tell you, the goal of my teaching, preaching and laboring, suffering, all the persecution and all the rejections and all the physical beatings that he went through, all the misunderstanding and being excommunicated and, you know, being misunderstood, he would point you to this one, that the goal of my instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and sincere faith. Then what else? If you had asked him, probably he would have turned to Galatians 4:19. There he says, Galatians 4:19, my children, with whom I am again in labor until Christ is formed in you. He would have told, I am striving and laboring so that Christ is formed in you, so that I can see, or God can see, Jesus Christ being manifested in you. Yeah, then what else, Paul? Then you would have probably direct this to another verse in Romans 8:29. Romans 8:29. For it says here, for whom the Father foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Do you see here what's the goal of Paul's teaching, the apostles' teaching, and the teaching of Jesus Christ? It's all so that we are freed from this world and that we are freed from all unchristlikeness and become more and more like him. How do we become like that? And we heard this morning through various trials and temptations. God puts us through various tests and trials. You know, Jesus said, I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners unto repentance. I have come to call, seek and to save that which was lost. Lost people are the ones who are lost, buried in the ground. Something like, you know, gold. When people go and dig for gold, they don't find pure gold. They just get some ore and that they bring, and then they purify it. I was reading some time back how much gold you get in a 1 ton of gold ore. 1 ton is 1,000 kilograms. Out of 1 ton of gold, if you want to extract pure gold from that, you get about 5 to 10 grams. If you get 5 to 10 grams of gold out of 1 ton, that's quite a big thing. It's profitable business. If it's less than that, then they have to close down, like how the KGF gold mine is closed down. You go there and see mountains and mountains of slags, the waste that is put there in KGF. Because out of that mountains and mountains of rubbish that came out after purifying the gold, they got only a little bit of gold. That's how God works in us, by taking us through various trials and temptations. Not to discourage us, because he says, lo, I am with you always. And he also said, when you pass through the waters, I am there. When you go through the fire, fire will not quench you. I am there with you. Like how he was with Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. Not Daniel. So God is with us. You don't have to be afraid. He knows how much fire, what's the intensity of heat that you and I can bear. He has his hand on the control knob. He will see to it that you are not burnt up. He will just give you enough grace. And you know, this is all for our good. We heard that all the testings and trials are meant to lead us to glory. You know, from glory to glory, He is changing me little by little. We sing day by day, from glory to glory, so that we become like Him one day. Like Him I shall be. We sing that song. And you know, we wonder sometimes, how is it that I can become like Jesus? The Bible is full of examples. Please read it. I don't have time to show you all those things. Go home and do a study on trials and testings. Take the concordance and read those verses. Why? What is the intention? What's the purpose of God putting me through this trial and through that trial, so that, you know, when you dig gold, you will not bring it under the tap and clean it up. There are certain things that can be washed away by water, but there are certain things that need to be cleansed only by fire, like the gold, silver, precious things. And when the fire burns and the goldsmith is able to see his image in that, then he knows that it is something like 24 carat gold or 22. If it's not very clear, then maybe it is 18 carat gold, which is of lesser value. Things like that. So the intention, the purpose of God's dealing with us is always to lead us in triumph, and also to lead us from glory to glory, to become like Him more and more. Peter says in 1 Peter 4:12, 1 Peter 4:12, Peter says here, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange things were happening to you." See, when we go through these things, we sometimes wonder, "Lord, why only me? Why that brother or that sister is having a cushy time and you're troubling me with this one? There is a death in this family, in my family. There is another person with terminal illness, and there is another person in hospice. And Lord, what's happening? I'm put on the bench, and what's the intention of your dealing with me, Lord? Is this the way that you'd like to take you? I thought life will be all rosy and the cakewalk for me after coming to Jesus." Yeah, you can hear that in so many churches. Come to Jesus, He will solve all your problems, and He will heal you, He will prosper you. And you know, people like to listen to such gospels, such messages, and that's how mega churches have been established today. And people go there in hordes and droves and thousands, and they have no capacity. They are bursting at seams, because dumb people go there, because Christendom has become dumb. That's why it is called Christendom. So dumb people go there to listen to such false gospel, false messages. Ultimately they get disillusioned when they come out from there, being there for years, become pauper, paying to the pastors there. Every service they are after your money and your wealth, and you end up becoming poorer and poorer, and they become richer and richer at your cost. And people still go there because they don't have any discernment. Jesus said, "The way is narrow." You want to go the broad way, the mega churches? Please go ahead. It's broad. Many are there. Many are called, but few are chosen. And those few are those who listen to Jesus and do follow Him and take up the cross after Him. What is taking up the cross? I told you sometime back, This is the only place I properly understood what the cross is. The cross is where my will meets God's will, and there my will crosses God's will. That is the cross. I come to a crossroad, like as it were, and I lay down my will and I take up the cross of Jesus. The cross of Jesus is the will of God. I say no to my will and say yes to God's will. That is the cross. And how many people are interested in that? They only are interested in how to become wealthy and healthy and have some inspirational speeches. Yeah, you get them even when you go to some inspirational speakers who come and conduct their sermons, seminars in 5-star hotels. You go and hear them. You buy their books and tapes. You'll get encouraged for some time. But when you come to trials, you will have no strength to stand. He who thinks he stands, let him take heed lest he fall, it says. So when God takes us through fiery ordeals, you know, all these dross, the filth and the muck gets cleansed from us, and we become purer and purer. And then God can see a little bit of Christ in me, and He says, little more work is to be done on you, my son. He will take you through some other trial, some other testing. Little bit fire here, little bit fire there. I was thinking of what John the Baptist said about Jesus. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. What is that fire? I was talking to one brother some time back. The fire is not literally fire that comes from heaven. That came only on the day of Pentecost, on the people, 120 people who were gathering there, who had gathered there in the upper room. The tongues of fire came and rested upon them. That is the only time we see fire coming on them. And after that, even when the Apostle Paul was baptized in the Holy Spirit, we don't hear thereafter anywhere fire coming upon a person or burning him up. You don't see that. What is that fire then? The fire is this: the fiery ordeal, fiery temptations, that you are put into a situation you don't know. You want to just jump out of the hot water. But God says, no, hold on. His hand is on you. For a little while. Just a little while. And afterwards, God knows when to take you out of that. That's being baptized in the Holy Spirit. I personally believe that. God takes us through all these fiery circumstances and trials so that we know what is in our heart. We read about that verse in Deuteronomy 8. God took you through all these 40 years in the wilderness to know what is in your heart. Not that God didn't know what was in their heart, but that the Israelites should know what was in their heart. When you are put into hot water or in fire, only then you know what is there. You feel like cursing that fellow. You feel like, giving him a piece of your mind and taking revenge or speaking back and hitting back and things like that. Then God says, no, what did Jesus do in that situation? He bore it patiently. When he was threatened, he didn't threaten back. When he was reviled, he didn't revile in return. He blessed those who cursed them. He prayed for those who persecuted them. He said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what to do. So when you go through these trials like this, then the Lord says, yeah, little more is to be cleansed. And one cleansing is done, He will put you to another cleansing and another situation. Not every day. God knows how much we can bear. He knows our strength is small, and He gives grace sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof, He says. That means each day has its own quota of evil, and He gives each day that much grace that we need. And sometimes we wonder, Paul says some people build on wood, hay and stubble, but the day comes with fire. And the fire tests every man's work, it says. And many of God's people's work will get burnt up. And only those who built on gold, silver and precious stones and things like that, they will remain. And God is looking for such remaining fruits that will remain. Not so-called fruits that will get burnt up to ashes on the final day when everything is burnt up. Because that day is coming, that day is going to come when everything will be burnt up. Even this earth on which we are standing will get burnt up. All the silver and the gold and all that is there will become ashes. You read that in the Bible. Everything will be burnt up, and only His children who cannot be burnt up, whose faith is more precious than gold, it says, they will be caught up. You have ears to hear such messages. You will not hear it in mega churches. You will hear it in some home groups, small churches. Because few are those who find the narrow way, not many. Many would like to go the broad way, and the Lord lets them go. He doesn't go after them. When Jesus preached strongly about eating His flesh and drinking His blood, He didn't go after them. Many of them left, and even He said to the disciples, would you also like to go? He was willing to let them go. And Peter said, Lord, where shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Peter knew there was no other place and no other person on this planet earth to whom I can go. Only Jesus is there. And He has the words of eternal life. What is that eternal life? Take up your cross. Or when you set your mind not on the things of God, says, get behind me, Satan. To His closest disciple, He said. And that disciple says, you have words of eternal life. You call me Satan. Okay, Lord, I accept that. You know, it is not the time of ease and comfort that we think we are spiritual. Only when we go through trials and testing, we know what is there in us. And then we can cry unto God and be cleansed from it. And all our life is an education. Day by day, God takes us through various situations. You see, sometimes when you go through some infantry, in some defense areas, you see the soldiers every day marching and, doing exercises and keeping themselves fit for the battle. And you go and look at them, their shoes are shiny and their guns are all shiny and they are going left, right, all the marching and everything. So, wow, we have a very good army. But wait for that 1 week of battle. They say, no, that 1 week, no, that's okay. That's 358 days in a year. You see how we march, how we shine our shoes and how we shine our guns and all that. That 1 week is nothing. My dear friend, brother, that 1 week only was meant, and the government spent all that money on you for that 1 week of battle, not this 358 days of parading. God also expects the same for us. That 1 day of trial here, 1 day of trial there, a little bit of rubbing there in the office. God gave grace so that you can cleanse yourself in times of peace, so that you will not sweat in times of war. You will not bleed in times of war. Sweat in time of peace. This is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. Jesus said, abide in me. Finally, you may wonder, what do I do? How do I come to this kind of life? Just turn with me to what Jesus said in John 15. I want to close with this. John 15. He tells those who are already called, already chosen. Verse 3, it says, you're already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. He is speaking to his disciples who have already been called, who are already clean. To them he says, verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me is the one, and I abide in him. He is the one who bears much fruit, and apart from me, you can do nothing. And verse 7, it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will, and it shall be done for you. This way my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. What is the fruit? Fruit is what you read in Galatians 5:22, fruit of the Holy Spirit. Not fruit of going and preaching the gospel and getting people converted. Those are not fruits. The fruit that the Bible speaks of is your character, is your Christ-likeness in your nature. Galatians 5:22, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control, against which there is no law, it says, so that my Father is glorified. Just as the Father has loved me, I have loved you. Abide in my love. See how many times Jesus said, abide in me. And what is the way of abiding in Jesus? Read the next verse, verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Keeping God's commandment, many people think it is strange. Jesus has called us to keep his command, not to get saved. Salvation is a free gift. We don't obey in order to be saved. We obey because we are saved. To express our love and gratitude to the Lord, we obey so that we become more and more like him. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's love and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be full, like we heard from Brother Newton. One of the signs that I'm growing is that I become more and more free from sin and more joyful, more and more happy, and more at rest. I'm not at unrest. And the things that used to bother me and disturb my peace and were wild alarms one day, they're not alarming me anymore. I'm coming into rest. Even when some grave things happen in my life or in my family life, my peace is not disturbed. That means the Lord's abiding peace is with me. His joy is there. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. That is what God expects us to. He expects us to grow, like we heard. Children, even when they don't want to go to school, we drag them. Even when they don't want to drink medicine, we pin them down and put the medicine in their mouth. Or give them injection. Hold them in the doctor's shop. It is painful, no doubt. It's not tasty. Medicine is not tasty. It's not like Coca-Cola. It's bitter. But you have to swallow that. And then you know. You are healed of your infection and your diseases, whatever. That is the way God deals with his children. All those whom he calls, he corrects, he rebukes, and he chastens. May we respond to that and say yes to him and no to our will. Amen.